This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
We are currently in a series on the Holy Spirit. Today is sermon number 6 in a series of 8. And I'm speaking this morning on the Holy Spirit, our gift giver. This will be a sobering message this morning. And I hope that it will bring great attention to the Word of God, which will ultimately bring great conviction to your heart. If you have your Bible today, would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to notice with me this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." For me, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one, but I get real excited every time it's time to come to church. I really do. And in fact, I can hardly wait for Wednesday nights. Wednesday night for me is the filling station of the week. I would hate to have to come in here on the fumes on Sunday morning. I need my spiritual tanks replenished. On Wednesday nights, we're studying in Genesis, meeting God in the garden. It has been a fantastic study. But I cannot wait for Wednesday to get here, and I can hardly wait for Sunday mornings to get here, because many of you take time to encourage my spirit, and you don't even know it, but you do. And I cannot tell you how much I need that, because I need encouragement in my life just like you need encouragement in yours. All throughout the week, I turn this corner and that corner, and I find people that are struggling on with various types of hardships, whether it's physical, whether those are like Francis Graham this morning in Chippenham Hospital, on a ventilator, not looking good. Whether I communicate with people like Jerry Welch, who is about ready to have his voice box taken out. People go through emotional strain and stress and all types of difficulties and circumstances and injuries and hospital visits and those types of things. And so when I get a chance to come into the house of God, it's always refreshing for me to be among God's people. And I will tell you this, there are times probably that I need encouraging more than you do. That's just the way that it is. Some of you may not know this, but encouragement is a gift from God. I want you to think about that. Encouragement is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Now, before we dive into the main text of where we are this morning, I want to reflect on a few passages of Scripture that we have already seen in this particular series. First, I want to call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse number 7. Now, they will be able to get these Scriptures on the big screen a whole lot faster than you're able to turn. And so maybe you'd want to just read from there. In John, chapter 16, verse number 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you," Jesus is speaking now, "that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now again, this morning, because of the series that we're in, this is sermon number 6. We need to remember that Jesus said that there was a very specific need for him to go away. And he said that if he did not go away, the helper or the comforter would not come. One of the special aspects of this promise was, and Jesus made it very clear, that the helper or the comforter would not be someone that would just show up now and then. If you remember, in the days of old, in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came to a person, came upon a person, it was for a specific time and purpose. And then once the Holy Spirit of God had accomplished the mission, he would depart. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go, and he would do that quite often, come and go. But Jesus said in this new covenant, in this New Testament promise, he said that the Holy Spirit would be a permanent, ever-abiding presence to those who believed. And in John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus also said this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." You see, it wasn't like the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit would come and go and come and go. Jesus said in this new covenant, in this New Testament, that the Holy Spirit would abide with us forever. Now, another thing that is clear in this promise that Jesus made is that Jesus makes it clear that the life he is calling us unto, it necessitates a helper. It necessitates a comforter. Because the transformation that takes place when we come to Christ, and I want to emphasize this, when a person comes to Christ, their life is radically changed. If you can remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, when she met Jesus and he began to minister to her, and he said, "For whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give shall never thirst again." Listen, this woman had been around the block a few times. Jesus was ministering to her. When she received what his message was all about, the very next thing that came out of her mouth, or the very next thing she did, she went into the town and she began to proclaim, "Come see a man. I have found what I've been searching for." And I will tell you, when a person comes to Christ, your life will radically change. If there has not been a radical change in your life when you came to Christ, when you say you came to Christ, there has been no change. The word says this, that all things are passed away and all things become new. That's an evidence of this thing called grace. It's a radical change that's greater than ourselves. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul said this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so we have to understand that when we come to Christ, when we receive him as our personal Savior, listen carefully, the Holy Spirit is not near us. The Holy Spirit is not close to us. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is not beside us. When we come to Christ, there is a transformation and the Holy Spirit now is within us. And that's a significant difference. That is an incredible promise. In fact, this promise that the Holy Spirit dwells within the heart of every believer is what separates Christianity from all other religions of the world. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. He said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And turn the pages to the right just a little bit and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. Paul again is speaking, and he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You see, when a person comes to Christ, it's not that the Holy Spirit is close to us, near us. When we come to Christ, according to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit becomes in us. Paul said this, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own. Now, what I find incredibly interesting here is this, that if you notice this verse of Scripture, the word you or ye or your is mentioned 5 times in this passage. That means that this Scripture right here is not written in a singular tense, but plural. It's talking about you. It's talking about the church, the body of Christ. Now, let me remind you of something. In Corinth, there were many temples with many idols of all sorts of lower class gods. Literally, everywhere you turned when you were in this city of Corinth, there was an idol. Here and there, there was a temple. The people of Corinth, listen carefully, they were incredibly religious, but they were pagans at the same time. And so Paul, he's addressing them in a way to refute the concept of separation between our spirit and the Spirit of God. And so this was inherently different than any other religion that was being spoke of in his day. Paul was saying that if you want to have a real encounter with Jesus, because here's what was happening. The people of Corinth, you know, they'd come to this idol. They'd have a little prayer. They'd come to this temple. They would have a little ritual. They'd come over here and they would find an engraving in the stone mountain. They'd have another little ritual. Paul was saying this, that if you want to have a real encounter with the Christian God, then you need to look no further than right here. He said, you don't need to look at the temple. You don't need to look at the idols. You don't need to look at the engravings. He said, if you want to have a real encounter with God, then you need to look at the ones in whose lives have been changed, radically changed when they came to him. Paul said that the Holy Spirit lives in the heart of every believer. And not only does he live in us, but listen carefully, he also empowers us to accomplish the mission of the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit of God, he empowers us with spiritual gifts for the work of the kingdom on this earth. Today, we're talking about sermon number 6, the Holy Spirit, the gift giver. So stay with me. The Holy Spirit empowers us with spiritual gifts for the work of the kingdom on this earth, but also he empowers us with spiritual gifts that we might build up one another, that we might edify one another. Now, Paul is speaking to a very specific church in a very specific geographical region. He is answering a lot of questions. He's addressing many false teachers, and then he comes to our main text for today. I want us to look again, if you will, where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is beginning to lay a foundational work for the gifts of the Spirit. And in verse 4 through 7, he mentions this. He said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is. Now, I would ask everyone to underline these words in your Bible. Is given to every man. If you would underline those 4 words, given to every man, this is important. to profit withal. Now, please listen carefully. As you underline those words, given to each and every one, here's the thing that I want you to focus on for the next few moments. Every believer is given spiritual gifts of the Spirit, all of us. Every gift that is given by the Spirit is given to glorify the Lord and to edify the church. That's the purpose of the gifts. And by the way, when you look at the scripture and you understand that it's given to everyone, here's the thing that we as a church, a body of Christ, in this local New Testament church, we need to adhere to and listen to very carefully this morning, and that is this. It makes no difference if you are a believer, if you are a born-again child of God, if you are a real deal Christian, then there is no exception. The Holy Spirit has given every member of the body of Christ a spiritual gift. Verse 7 says, to every man. Now notice with me chapter 12, verse 8 through 11. Paul talks about some of these gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8, he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, listen now, not spiritually selected, not predestinated, to every man, every single one of us, every person who is a member of the body of Christ, every believer, to every man, severely as he will. Now, Paul is describing the unique diversity in the gifts of the Spirit. We're speaking this morning, the Holy Spirit, our gift giver. Now, in this passage of scripture that we just read, there's a list of 9 spiritual gifts here. But I want you to know that this is not the only place in the Bible where spiritual gifts are mentioned. There are other places in the scripture that point to the other different workings of the Spirit where believers are gifted as well. So I want you to understand that. But I believe the greater point to all of this is this. It's not about how many spiritual gifts we have, but it's about how many of the spiritual gifts we are using. Now, I want you to think about that because all of us have one. All of us have been blessed of God to have been given at least one spiritual gift. If you're in the body of Christ, if you are a saved, blood-washed, born-again believer, you've been redeemed by the grace of God, every single one who makes up the body of Christ has been given at least one spiritual gift. Now, let me explain something to you this morning. No spiritual gift is exactly the same. And the reason why is because we're all different. All of us are different. Let's talk about the gift of music just for a moment. No one can sing like Brother Drew. But I will also say this, no one can sing like Sister Teresa. No one can sing like you. And you might say, thank God for that. And some of you try to weasel out this gift because you say, I can't sing. But let me tell you, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be able to sing. It just says make a joyful noise. And everybody here can do that. Everybody can make a joyful noise. But let me say this. So when we use the spiritual gift of singing, like we're talking about right now, it's unusual because it cannot be exactly duplicated. For illustration purposes this morning, Brother Drew cannot sing like Teresa. And she cannot sing like Brother Drew. Those gifts of singing is used in a wonderful way, but listen, it blesses us all differently. This is the thing that I want you to understand. But more than that, and ultimately, through the gift of singing, the gift of music, not only does it bless us and bless us all in different ways, but ultimately it brings honor and glory to God. That's what it's all about. This is the one of the reasons why I enjoy the Master's Sunday School class. Let me say it this way. When I leave my office on Sunday mornings, I have made it a practice that I stop in the back and I listen, because we have three men teaching this class, Master's class. And they rotate, Brother David and Brother Danny and Brother Adam. And here's what I like. It's just like the difference of singing between Brother Drew and Sister Teresa. Brother David and Brother Danny and Brother Adam, they're all different. They're using a spiritual gift to teach. But each one of these men has a different personality, a different style, a different way of delivery. And what blesses me is that I get to sit in this class on a rotating basis and listen to these men teach the Word of God. Now, but all three of them are using their spiritual gift for teaching. But I'm blessed to hear the diversity in the presentation of it. I praise the Lord for all the people in this church who are using their spiritual gift of teaching and who teaches. Let me ask you this, as the body of Christ, as members of Buford Road Baptist Church, listen carefully, because we're taught in the Word that every one of us have a spiritual gift, all of us. The question is this, are you using yours? Are you using your spiritual gift? Because everyone has at least one. I'm going to tell you what two of my wife's spiritual gifts are. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 13, this is one of her spiritual gifts. Romans 12, verse 13, she has the gift of hospitality. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That's one of hers. Another one of hers is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And that is the gift of helps. Whenever there's a problem on this property, when anything is out of sort, they're not knocking down my office door. When there's a problem, Houston, we have trouble. We have a problem. It's Miss Gail. They go to her. They ring her phone off the hook. With anything, Miss Gail, what do we do? Miss Gail, what do we do? Miss Gail, Miss Gail, Miss Gail, Miss Gail, what do we do? I appreciate that. But help is one of her spiritual gifts. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healing, helps. This is one of her spiritual gifts. Governments, diversities of tongues. Now, this is over and beyond anything that deals with administration and teaching. But the danger zone about your spiritual gift, because I want you to be thinking about what yours is today. I want you to think about your spiritual gift. And the danger about thinking about your spiritual gift is this. Here's the danger of it. When you think you know what your spiritual gift is. And I'm very much aware of this congregation and the people that work and serve and get in the Lord's work. I know what many of your spiritual gifts are, but here's the danger zone. When you think you know what your spiritual gift is, if you're not careful, then you will begin and you will be tempted to think, well, since I know what my spiritual gift is, then I'm excused from everything else because I know what my spiritual gift is. But did you know that when you're willing to do the undesired things, the things you don't feel you have time to do, or the things that you fear because of the burnout syndrome. Listen carefully. When you surrender that mindset to the Lord, and when you are willing to say, Jesus, make me more like you, that's when God gets the glory. Listen to this. In John chapter 13, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, sometimes I think we forget that he had to wash the feet of Judas as well. Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zones and wash the feet of Judas. The feet of Judas sometimes. More so than that, listen, I'm afraid. Many times as the body of Christ, listen to this now. I'm afraid many times as born-again believers, we buy into the world's philosophy. You've heard this old saying, it's almost become like a cliche now. I don't do those things. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do those things. And maybe you have a list of things you don't want to do. Maybe that list, I don't do things. But please listen carefully to this. And let this speak to your heart today. Because I thought about this in many ways. The world is in a much better place today because Moses didn't say, I don't do Pharaohs. And I don't do migrations. The world is in a better place today because Noah didn't say, I don't do arks. I don't do animals. The world is in a better place today because Rahab did not say, I don't do spies. The world is in a better place today because Ruth did not say, I don't do mother-in-laws. The world is in a better place today because Samuel didn't say, I don't do mornings. The world is in a better place today because David did not say, I don't do giants. The world is in a better place because Peter didn't say, I don't do Gentiles. The world is in a better place because John didn't say, I don't do deserts. The world is in a better place because Mary didn't say, I don't do virgin births. The world is in a better place because Paul did not say, I don't do correspondence. The world is in a better place because Mary Magdalene did not say, I don't do feet. The world is in a better place today because Jesus Christ did not say, I don't do crosses, I don't do nails, I don't do cat of nine tails, I don't do crown of thorns. And the world would be a better place today and the church would be in a better place today if we refuse to say, I don't do choirs. I don't do nurseries. I don't do Sunday school. I don't do children's church. I don't do bus driving. I don't do soul winning. I don't do tithing. Think about how better off the church of Christ would be if we would forget this I don't do stuff, the burnout syndrome. For the most part. And certainly we've not arrived. But I think for the most part, Buford Road Baptist Church is doing fair. And I emphasize that by no means are we where God wants us to be. And I'm so thankful for the ones that don't have the I don't do list. Because let me tell you, on Sunday mornings, and I mentioned a little bit about this last week, on Sunday mornings, right before Sunday school, there are about 20 folks working behind the scenes to prepare our worship time together. I mean, some of these people get out of bed early. They get ready early. They leave their homes early. And they're down here getting everything ready for us. Sometimes I get a chill when I ponder what people are doing on our behalf to make our time together the very best that it possibly could be. Listen carefully. This thing about spiritual gifts is about the body of Christ serving one another. Keep in mind that every believer is given spiritual gifts to accomplish the mission of the Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 26, the word says this, and I want to read verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Verse 27. And ye shall also bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. And so every one of us have been given a spiritual gift that the Spirit gives in order to work in and through us to glorify God. We must not forget this. The reason why we have been given spiritual gifts is to glorify God and to edify one another. And one of the most important things to remember about our spiritual gifts is this. And please, if you don't get anything out of the message today, would you leave here today understanding this? One of the most important things, besides bringing glory to God and edifying the church, one of the most important things about our spiritual gifts that we need to understand is this. We are not the owners of these spiritual gifts. We are only the stewards. We are not the owners of our spiritual gift. We're only the stewards. Every believer, remember this, every believer, every person that knows Christ as their personal Savior, every believer has been given spiritual gifts to accomplish the mission of the Spirit, uniquely valuing every person of the Spirit. Paul said this in verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice this, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15 and 16. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And so look at this. Paul is saying that it would be absurd for any of the spiritual gifts to be divisive in the church, because we're too important to and for one another with our spiritual gifts. We should never, listen, with all the talent that we have in this church and with every one of us who are saved, equipped with at least one spiritual gift, some in here with multiple, we should never let the thoughts of inferiority or jealousy or competition or comparison or envy to get in the way how God has uniquely designed us to serve Him and to edify one another. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So what Paul is saying is this, no matter what you do, because all of us have a gift, he is saying that every single member matters. And I think if we as a congregation, if the people of Buford Road Baptist Church refuses to use the spiritual gifts that God has given to us, and some of you have one, some of you have two, some of you have three, but it might be in park. It might be dormant. It may be just stuck on the pew. If God, listen, whether it be with me or four, five, six, whether it be with her, two, three, whether it be with you, one, four, five, I don't know. Listen, the spiritual gifts that God has equipped us with, and they're all different, we're uniquely, wonderfully made different. But think about this. If we as a congregation are sitting on spiritual gifts, think about how dysfunctional we'll become as a church. We cannot forget something very important here. We, the church, we have been rescued by the Holy Spirit of God, placed into the body of Christ, not for numerical purposes, but in order that the Holy Spirit can reveal the power of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that desperately needs Him. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Let me give you one final spiritual truth. I want our musicians to come forward. I want to give you one final spiritual truth this morning. Listen to this. And if I could have everyone's undivided attention, a lot of times, because you might be sitting here today, you might be saying, preacher, I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's like a broken record. You're telling everybody in this auditorium that they have a spiritual gift. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying every member of the body of Christ has a spiritual gift. I don't know if you're saved or lost. I guarantee you, you don't get spiritual gifts from the Holy Ghost if you're not saved. I can promise you that. So you might be sitting here today and say, Pastor, I heard the message. Every one of us have spiritual gifts, and every one of us ought to be using them. We ought to be using them for the glory of God and for the edification of the church, the building up of the body of Christ. We also need to be using our spiritual gifts for the lost and dying world that does not know Christ. Absolutely. And you say, I hear that, preacher. I get that. But the problem with all of that is this. I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Let me leave you with the spiritual truth. A lot of times we don't know where we are spiritually gifted until we just say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. A lot of times we will never know what our spiritual gift is until we are just surrendered. I don't know, God. I don't. Can I sing? I don't know if I can sing. I'm going to go up there and tell Brother David I'm getting in the choir. I don't know if I can sing or not. Can I play the piano? Probably not. Don't do that. I don't know. Listen, you will never, 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 never know what your spiritual gift is until you step out and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. God, I don't know. Listen, Paul said this in Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. God's not going to call you to do something insane. God's not going to call you to do something that is absolutely impossible for Him to lead you and guide you and take care of you. All of us have spiritual gifts. And you might say, you know, I've heard that all my life, but I just don't know what mine is. And my suggestion is step out. Surrender. And let me tell you this. I don't believe that you're going to have to put yourself in a warehouse and rust and collect dust until the rapture. Listen, you step out and say, here am I, God. I'm surrendered. I believe this. If you seek, you will find. You knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Think about what difference we could make in Buford Road Baptist Church if we took all of our spiritual gifts out of park and put them to use for the glory of God, the edification of the church, and for the lost community around us that doesn't know Christ.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.